Well, those policies continue to be operative, not only in the Middle East. Let's go back to Latin America. Here the policies are similar, and they are just as natural, to quote the National Security Council, as in the Middle East. And they're also deeply rooted. Not a great surprise to Latin Americans or to people here who want to understand our own country, for example, by looking at the rich declassified record of internal planning. For example, you can look back to a hemispheric conference in 1945, which laid out the framework for subsequent U.S.-Latin American relations. In that conference in Mexico, the United States instituted what was called the Economic Charter of the Americas. And its goal was, I'm quoting the State Department now, its goal was to counter the philosophy of the new nationalism that was sweeping Latin America. It's a dangerous doctrine which embraces policies designed to bring about a broader distribution of wealth and to raise the standard of living of the masses, and holds that the first beneficiaries of the development of a country's resources should be the people of that country, quoting the State Department. And of course, that's a serious misunderstanding. The first beneficiaries of a country's resources must be U.S. investors. We have to protect our resources, as George Kennan put it, top State Department planner. He was referring to the material and human resources that by accident lie elsewhere but are ours. And as he made clear and explicit, violence may be the only way. You may recall that Kennan was at the dovish extreme of the planning spectrum. He was removed in 1950 because he was considered too soft for this harsh world. And he's now revered as a great humanist. The threat of the new nationalism was overcome. The U.S. had the force to do it. One of the consequences was described by the World Bank just a few years ago. They pointed out that the region has the most unequal income distribution in the world, and there will be chaos unless governments act aggressively against poverty, which is appalling in its depth and scale. And that situation is expected to become worse. Last year, the U.S. intelligence community, with the assistance of academic specialists and people from the business world, published their projection for the next 15 years. Their projection is that what they call globalization will proceed on course, leading to a widening economic divide and greater financial volatility. Well, a widening economic divide means less globalization in the technical sense of convergence to a single market, but more globalization in the doctrinally preferred sense of concentration of wealth and power, and more financial volatility. Well, that means slower growth and even more harm for the poor majority. So that's the optimistic scenario. These predictions were a few months before September 11th. There's no indication that these tendencies of the emerging framework of world order, there's no indication that they're going to change, except in one respect, they're likely to become more pronounced with consequences as grave as those that the World Bank predicts. And they're very deeply rooted. They're not the kind of policies that change easily.